what is that another form of matrimony? Not unimportant. This is the last. Call it set of norms that the church requires for the validity and the sanctity of a marriage in which at least one party is a professed Catholic. Behind this form or norm is the church's understanding that matrimony is a liturgical action which creates certain rights and responsibilities and requires the certification of witnesses, the public character of their mutual consent protects their agreement and ensures its permanent fidelity. We've touched on this before. We'll more than touch on it as we go along. Civil authority, in so many ways, has usurped the authority of the Church of God, but nowhere more devastatingly than in taking over the conditions for, the form of, the obligations of, the very meaning of marriage. Not the state, but the church has the right, the divinely ordained right, first for her own members. The state has zero rights over the marriage of Christians. Zero. And as far as the teaching of God's law, it is the church and not the state which is both the custodian and the interpreter of the divine law here in matrimony. Since our main focus is the sacrament of matrimony, we ask ourselves with the church, what are the principal effects of the sacrament of matrimony? They are mainly these. First, the matrimonial bond established by God Himself. That's the first and basic effect, the bond. Consummated matrimonial sacramental bond is indissoluble by any human authority. The church herself cannot pronounce against this disposition of divine wisdom. No pope, no bishop, no conference of bishops can dissolve a valid, sacramental, consummated marriage. Among the crises in the Catholic Church is one created by sheer necessity in a country like ours. When, because of the sheer instability of marriage and the family in countries like our own, marriage cases where the question of whether there had been a valid marriage in the first place is for centuries, regularly, consistently, for 1900 years, were decided by the Holy See. Tens of thousands of cases, as I know from my friends working for the Vatican. Years behind in passing judgment on these cases. Paul VI decided he would allow bishops of their dioceses to pass judgment under certain conditions. And the result in some dioceses, as a matter of common record. So I'm sure I've told some of you at least, had one tribunal of a large archdiocese which had a record for giving so many courts annulments. You must have some principle on which you operate. Sure we do. What's the principle? Everyone who submits a case to us for annulment has a right to get the annulment. That is the end of the Catholic Church. Know that our diocese so well. What's happening in our diocese? It's going on. The Church founded by Jesus Christ is only as stable and firm and solid as the members of the Catholic Church are sound and stable in their marital commitments. Second effect, the married partners are assumed to have made, first of all, a sincere commitment to God. As a result, they are assured a lifetime of God's grace, for which their mutual love is protected and their indissoluble unity is strengthened. Christ Himself becomes the source of this grace. We need to keep reminding ourselves, Jesus Christ is the third unseen partner in every sacrament of marriage. Because it is His grace that makes possible what would be humanly impossible, except for the light and strength that comes from Him. Question. What does marital love require of the spouses? Short answer. It requires an inviolable fidelity between the spouses and binds them to an indissoluble unity. Remember, we are here speaking, first of all, to human beings. We are speaking to and of about people who are living in an age and for us in a culture which is by every human calculation contrary to every single premise laid down by Christ for his married followers. There is here, therefore, that unless we who have the true faith draw the resources provided by that faith, then how can we expect to even persevere in our marital commitment, face a world that on every single crucial issue thinks just the opposite from the way we, as followers of Jesus Christ, what we believe? We ask ourselves, is this fidelity naturally impossible? And I am speaking to men. I think we should be very open and even outspoken. In a country like ours, although historically, it is men that had, as the literature of most nations reveals, been the ones who are most prone to infidelity. Yet, with the rise of an idolizing of women, and that idolizing means, I mean it, idolatry. There is no way of proving this, but I really believe that the proneness to infidelity is at least equally as great among women as it is among men. Which, of course, brings out, as you shall see before the retreat is over, the crucial necessity we have in the context of marriage for both husband and wife to be in the deepest sense of the word, absolutely selfless in the generosity of their love. And that selfless generosity is not only something psychological. No doubt, if I want to evoke generosity in another person, I should be generous towards him or her. You might say it stands to reason, but it's much deeper. It is one thing to have the graces that matrimony assures a married people. One thing to have those graces available. It is something else to receive those graces. I must do my part to receive the graces. and to obtain the graces that in marriage are so desperately needed. There is no substitute for selfless, and I mean selfless, selfless love. We close with this question. We've asked it. Is this fidelity between married spouses as required by Christ and taught by His church naturally impossible? Did the adverb naturally impossible? The answer is yes. Well, this is precisely why Christ instituted the sacrament of matrimony. The sacrament enables the married spouses to do the humanly impossible. They are thus empowered to witness to God's selfless love for the human race. We began this retreat by pointing out the duty we have to grow in sanctity, which will call from us living. We have probably this, living lives of martyrs. That's how the pagan world of the Roman Empire was converted. We saw Christian spouses living together in peaceful, faithful, loving harmony. Should the heads blink their eyes? Talk to each other under this seahawk. Did you see that? And the woman said, really, yes, I saw it. So it's impossible, eh? Yes, it is impossible. And this, dear God, this is what our nation needs. Catholics. For our purpose, married Catholics. Who are living such selfless, generous, married lives. Loving one another as spouses. Accepting the children that God wants to give them. And the pagan world in which we are living, what a safe statement. Shake his head, blink his eyes, then begin to ask, how is that possible? Then we go back to Cana of Galilee. It's a miracle. Which by definition, a miracle is a visible effect produced by God which surpasses the powers of nature. Lord Jesus, how our world needs this miracle today. Please, Lord, we will provide it so that your presence, dear Jesus, on earth, will be recognized in us, weak human beings, who by your grace are living what the world will realize are humanly impossible lives because we love you. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.